Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Delight in the freedom and the lightness that God has given you. But those who are wealthy should take pride in their humiliation, he says. And I have to say, I needed some help in understanding what that meant. What it means is that humiliation is a humbling recognition that even if you have a bank account that could provide your every need, that's not your every need. Your spiritual needs and dependence on God are still just as large as anybody else's, and your earthly wealth is temporary. It will fade. It could go. And we can rejoice, those of us who are very comfortable, we can rejoice in the hard knowledge that the comfort we have in our wealth is actually nothing compared to the comfort of knowing God, of having a faith that can persevere under trial. When one looks at the gift wrapping in the recycling bin, if you're allowed to put it in the recycling bin, I'm never quite sure. When one looks at the containers or bottles left over after Christmas, actually one is able to align oneself with the kingdom by saying, this feast is as nothing. These gifts are as nothing. Everything I have is as nothing, and it could go like that. But I will still be with the Lord, and his riches are all I need. Well, finally, starting right means knowing your traveling companions. If you have thought about going on family holidays and you've thought, what family would I bring with me or what friends? You sort of go through that little list. Oh, probably not them. Or they could work. They like their own space. That could be okay. They bring a lot of books. That'll be helpful because then they'll read and we can go off and do our thing. Or no, we definitely, those kids are insane. Or maybe that's exactly what they say about our family. You need to know your traveling companions when you're heading on your journey. And James is concerned that his readers are actually mixing up who is traveling with them. They're misunderstanding who God is, and they're misunderstanding whether this companion of desire, sin, and death is good or bad. So he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. God is not the companion who is calling you aside from the path of wisdom that he has put before you. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt anyone. Trials and testing to strengthen your faith muscles are one thing, but temptation to selfishness, to cruelty, temptation is not from God. It is not something to be endured that you'll be strengthened. Temptation is to be resisted, pushed away, and fled from. So he says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by a different companion, their own evil desires, and enticed. You're traveling along the path. You've actually chosen the map and the compass from God. You've gotten rid of the grand piano. And then there's a desire. And you just head off a little bit. Now, James would say a desire doesn't have to be the full path. It could be a little rabbit trail and you say, no, I'm back. But he says after desire has gone down the track a little more, his picture is using kind of conception and birth and growing up. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, action that actually hurts others, yourself, goes against God's intention for you and for the world. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The path that you've gone down that you thought was a little rabbit trail suddenly ends up leading you completely away from the direction that God has for you, away from life and towards death. So he ends with this, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." What you have on your journey with God is eternal, unchangeable. Like Peter would say, it can't rust, moths can't eat it. You have what you need. And God has chosen to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. That last section could do with a lot of unpacking, but I don't want to do that today because I want us to take some time to respond to the Lord Jesus in receiving the Lord's Supper. And so I wanted to end with this picture of incredible natural beauty. Maybe you'll be heading down the Great Ocean Road, I don't know. When we look around, perhaps in this holiday season, thinking about what we've brought with us, when we see beauty on the earth, when we see the enjoyment that children and others have at Christmas, when we enjoy something amazing to eat, when we have sunshine, we need to know that these are not random coincidences. Actually, we're living in a world where every good and perfect gift is from God. Everything good is from God. It can be received with thanks and know that it is part of this incredible journey that we are on, with Jesus walking with us, as Pauline said. God doesn't change. God doesn't withhold. God has given his own son. And the scripture says, if he's given his own son, how will he not also, along with him, give us all good things, everything we need? As we take the Lord's Supper and as we experience the beauty of God's world, I really want us to go into 2025 full of confidence that God will give us everything we need. We ask for wisdom and direction. We know that we can go through trials with him. We know that our own earthly wealth is not a measure of his blessing, but can be used for his glory, which is unchanging because of who he is. So let's take a moment of quiet, and then we're going to come to a time of confession and then in sharing the Lord's Supper. Christ, the grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. Let us bring our weaknesses and infirmities to him,
confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins. Strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.